You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your host here, Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, bring you daily Timberwolves content. And I tell you what, we were real close to not bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Trey was a Suns loss away from canceling the whole show, shutting everything down. But you know what? We got him back on board with the victory. So we nearly slipped up and had to cancel the show. But we're going to be okay for at least another game.
I am currently Team Doris Burke. So whatever Doris thinks right now about the Timberwolves moving forward is where I currently stand. She absolutely killed Andrew Wiggins against that San Antonio Spurs game on Friday night. I tagged you in that, Colton. Did you happen to see that online?
I did. I think I responded to it, actually. That's probably the perfect start for today's show, talking about what happened this weekend before we launch into this week's slate of games. But the Spurs beat the Timberwolves 116-113. Remarkably similar scores here for the weekend games for the Timberwolves. But Doris Burke laying into Wiggins. And I tell you what, she was picking him apart on plays where he was literally just standing in the corner. And this was a game where Towns only played, I believe it was only 20 minutes because of foul trouble early. Let me look. 21 minutes, 16 seconds was the exact time that he played because of foul trouble, and he still had 23 minutes and 6 rebounds in that short time. And Wiggins was pretty passive most of that game, despite being the only guy out there for this team. I mean, you look at their injury report. They have Robert Covington, who's out, and you have Towns, who's having injury or having foul trouble, and you have Derrick Rose, who wasn't playing a ton of minutes in this game. And so, I mean, it was a perfect time for Wiggins to really step up, and he didn't grab the spotlight or the opportunity, and it was really disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, I would like relate Andrew Wiggins and his career trajectory thus far to like me being paid monthly instead of biweekly, even though I'm supposed to be being paid biweekly. It's like I'm expecting a paycheck on Friday, Colton, and I have to wait another 3 weeks for one. It's completely disappointing. And then when it finally comes, I'm happy, but it's like not fair. It's almost like a coping mechanism that I'm happy. And that's how I feel with Andrew Wiggins, man. It's the most frustrating thing in the world. And it was honestly awesome to see Doris Burke highlight that frustration so eloquently that I can't even possibly imagine to do. I mean, that's why she's one of our best broadcasters in sports. But she essentially was like, Andrew Wiggins is like pure athleticism, and his ability to score at will should, you know, mean good things for him in the future. But his passiveness as a player will ultimately keep him down as a role player in this league if he continues to be invisible on plays. And I think even the SB Nation editor Dan Moore from Timberwolves site tweeted out something like, Andrew Wiggins reminds him of Wesley Johnson, when Wesley Johnson was originally doing pretty well in the league, former Timberwolf. And they used to call him Ghost Johnson because he would just disappear at times in games. And that's what ultimately led to Wesley Johnson's demise as a good player in this league. And he kind of saw that in Andrew Wiggins. And I really don't hope that's the, you know, ceiling for Wiggins there. That would be, or floor rather, but that's terrible. But I guess besides Andrew Wiggins in this game, it was a tough 3-point loss, and it, ultimately with that Karl-Anthony Towns foul trouble, even though he put up great numbers in 21 minutes, it wasn't enough to get past this, you know, DeMar DeRozan-less San Antonio Spurs, which is insane, by the way, because our podcast on Friday morning went out, and essentially I said that if you stop DeMar DeRozan in this game and LaMarcus Aldridge, you'll be fine. And Timberwolves only had to do one of those things, which was stop Aldridge, and Aldridge actually finished with a very nice setup. And then Rudy Gay essentially took over like he was young Rudy Gay again. So it was just a really tough game all around for Minnesota.
First of all, Trey is comparing his paycheck situation to Wiggins. I can't stress this to listeners enough. We are so close to Trey just not texting me back before shows and just disappearing that it's not even funny. I'm concerned every single day. And that's a very real thing that's happening for me. And I cannot stress that enough to the listeners. Secondly, I hate to be the guy who blames the ref, and that's such a drunk bar fan kind of thing to do. You're right. But look at the front court here for the Timberwolves. You had Gorgie with 5 fouls. You had Taj with 5 fouls. You had Towns who fouled out. There was at least 4 fouls between those 3 guys that should not have happened. At least 4. And I was shocked and stunned at some of the fouls getting called. That call on Teague late in that game that was called an offensive foul when he ran in and the guy wasn't even close. He literally dashed in at the last second in front of him and they called it a charge. I could not believe some of the calls that the Spurs were getting. And I was shocked because usually refs are there to control the game, not to dictate the outcome, right? They're there to make sure that the game is played within reason, not to make sure that the game is changed in its flow, right? I mean, you don't want to impact the game heavily. I guess would be the main goal for most refs, don't you? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. I'll come take a seat next to you at the bar here, Colton. But like, I think you know, the 28 fouls that were called on Minnesota this game, like, not all of them were egregious. Like, San Antonio had 25 fouls in this game, so of course they had foul trouble as well. But it was just those late game calls. Like, there was unnecessary calls between LaMarcus Aldridge and Karl Anthony Towns, like getting in scuffles here and there. And they would just give, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge a favor when Towns was ultimately, you know, had to be kicked from the game with 6 fouls. But they even were giving fouls to Aldridge too. He had 5 fouls himself. Like, it was kind of ridiculous what they were doing. And so many guys are getting to the free throw line that I actually thought Minnesota would pull away the win here, just because San Antonio shot really well from free throw. I think they're the number one team in the league in free throw shooting, but they shot around 79%. Minnesota shot around 84% on 38 attempts, which is saying a lot for the Timberwolves, who haven't really shot consistently from the free throw line. 32 of 38 was crazy. And Derrick Rose luckily kept us in this game late. You know, 26 minutes, he had 23 points and 6 assists. So he had a fantastic game. And we really relied on him, as well as that Phoenix game last night, which we'll get to. But just Derrick Rose's performance over the past 2 games really, you know, maybe solidifies him as a potential all-star this year, especially with Tyus Jones out. He's just playing such key minutes.
Well, when everyone was getting to the line, Andrew Wiggins only had 2 free throw attempts. So another scenario where he could have really excelled in one area of this game or taken advantage of one area of this game and just did not, and super unfortunate. But let's get to that Suns game. A disappointing loss to San Antonio Spurs that they really had. Also, actually, before we get there, why can't the Timberwolves draw up a play to finish a game?
Is it simply just because we don't have a knockdown shooter? Like, is it just that? Like, are we just reluctant to call a post-up play with Towns? Like, is that what it is?
Well, I mean, he was fouled out at that point, so I can't blame him for that. But
yeah.
Do you have Derrick Rose just shooting, I believe it's 46% from 3, isn't it, this year? And so, like, you can get him the ball and have him – him shooting is not a bad play. But him shooting a fadeaway 3 off the elbow from 26 feet is a bad play. Like, screen him open or something. Run a double screen off the top of the key or do something to get him free. Don't make him shoot it with somebody in his face.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because not only did Saunders call that play against San Antonio, he then called that play against Phoenix. I mean, ultimately, obviously, it worked out against Phoenix with the.
But that doesn't mean it's a good play.
No, not a good. I mean, no, unless you're James Harden, the ISO pull up, you know, mid range isn't probably the best shot in the entire world. Luckily, he made it, but he's, you know, 9 out of 10 times he's going to miss that shot.
And that's actually a perfect transition. Let's scoot over to the Suns game here. This is actually, you want, let's take a break for some sponsors and let's get to the Suns game, because we want to give this one its proper time, because I know that you almost suffered a heart attack. All right, here's some sponsors and then we're going to get to the Suns. So the Suns nearly toppled the Timberwolves at home. I shudder to think about what is going to happen when the Timberwolves go on the road to play Phoenix again. But 116-114 win for the Timberwolves. And Derrick Rose coming up clutch, 31 points for Rose in 37 minutes. He also had 3 assists, 4 rebounds. Huge night for him. Shot 50% again from the field, 12 of 24, despite going 0-4 from the three-point range. Got to the free throw line a bunch, knocked out a bunch of clutch shots like you were mentioning a little earlier. And they definitely needed every drop of his points, because Devin Booker had 18, you had TJ Warren with 21, you had off the bench, you had Josh Jackson with 15, Kelly Oubre Jr. with 18, Jamal Crawford with 11. So the bench for the Suns coming in big for them and really keeping them in this game, making sure that they had a shot at the Timberwolves. And if you look at the Timberwolves bench outside of Derrick Rose, not a lot there. Anthony Tolliver, 4 points. Dario Saric, 9 points. Jared Bayless, 7 points. And is that the biggest storyline, is that really the Timberwolves didn't have anybody but Derrick Rose to throw at this bench, at the Suns bench?
Yeah, that's the biggest storyline. Actually, I'm going to say aside from the number one storyline, which is obviously that the Suns are out with without their second best player, DeAndre Ayton, their number one pick, and they only lose by 2 points. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, if the Timberwolves are going to be a playoff team, they have to step up in these games. I mean, they're going to have another chance against Phoenix Monday night, but I'm kind of nervous for that game. Like, we'll get to that, and, you know, probably tomorrow morning's pod, but, like, for Tuesday night, rather. But they just don't come up clutch against really bad teams. I mean, obviously they did against the Suns team this past game, but, like, they haven't shown that all season. And they just took Derrick Rose to make one of the best shots of his career against the Suns, which is ridiculous, but it worked. But it does say a lot about this Wolves bench and what they're going to do in the future. I thought it was also odd that Josh Okogie's minutes were, they were cut because he had foul trouble, but those minutes went to Jared Bayless. Like, once Josh Okogie's minutes were cut, they went to Bayless, which was an interesting call by Saunders to not just give him more to Sarge or Tolliver or whomever. But other than Derrick Rose in this game, Karl Anthony Towns had a solid performance. He had 13 of 13 from the free throw line, which was a career best from him in terms of hitting him in a row. And then, you know, Andrew Wiggins played a dud game, like the paycheck situation, as I've stated. And Jeff Teague also, not a great game. He had the typical Jeff Teague game, 4 points, 8 assists. If it would have been more Jeff Teague, like if it was like 4 points, 15 assists, that just seems to be the Jeff Teague game. And then Taj Gibson was, surprisingly, after I roasted him on Friday morning saying that Saric should get the starting spot because he's too old to play in this league anymore with Gibson, even though he's a grit guy, he ended up being gritty like he usually is. He had a solid steal in the last minute off Devin Booker, which led to that Derrick Rose game-winning shot. So good, shout-out to Taj Gibson there.
Yeah, really, really good game from him. He shot 87% from the field, 17 points. Which was nice because Wiggins shot 21% and had 10 points. So he was very absent. But at least he did get to the free throw line more. The problem is he shot 42% from the charity stripe. So not great there either. I was fascinated, though, with the Timberwolves and the way they played the Suns, because you mentioned it already. You had DeAndre Ayton out for this one, and then you had Dragan Bender as their center, as their five. And so a really kind of funky, long, true small ball kind of lineup for the Suns. And it really, because if you look at the guys who are playing big minutes off their bench, Josh Jackson, Kelly Oubre, Jamal Crawford, those are all like wing or shooting guard guys who are going to play out on the edge and give them more stretch and more space. And all those guys played over 20 minutes off their bench. And so really interesting to see the Timberwolves and how they struggled with this long, stretchy lineup that was just going for pace and space. It was fascinating to see that the Timberwolves, it doesn't seem like they have a game plan for when a team just stays super small for an entire game. And when you have so many teams in the West who can do that, that's a real problem. And this is one of those games where there's teams like the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors will probably go into small ball anyways, but there's teams like maybe the Kings, or if you're looking at like the Jazz, who are like, hey, if we just go super small ball, we know we have guys who are good at center, but if we go super small ball for like 15 minutes it's going to throw the Timberwolves in a funk. And I think that this is one of those games that you point to and you kind of log in new information about the Timberwolves, because if you go stretchy against them for an extended amount of time, they really didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, and maybe this is a longer conversation, but I'm going to ask you a question here, Colton. What's the last team you can remember that their starting center was one of their top three guys winning a championship? Like, what? I honestly can't even think of a team right now off the top of my head that center was their one of their top three players that won a championship. And I mean, that's obviously, like, I'm not putting a lot of thought into it right now, but like, it's not a guy, a team in the past 5 to 10 years, is it?
It'd have to be like the last team, the last time the Lakers won with Shaq, wouldn't it?
Yeah, which is astonishing, because we love to glorify the starting fives that can shoot threes and pass the ball and are flashy, like Nikola Jokic or even Karl-Anthony Towns. But it could just be that the future of the league, and maybe it's just been staring us in the face, are what the surprisingly Atlanta Hawks and the Phoenix Suns are trying to do, which is essentially not play a center, even if they can shoot threes and they can adapt to this current modern style NBA. Because it's almost like teams like the Warriors or LeBron James-led teams have kind of figured it out, and they're like, that's cute that you guys have like a center that can do it all on the floor, but we have guys who can play at every position pretty much. That's why we're always going to go to the finals. And that might just be the future of this league. And hopefully, you know, the Timberwolves can break that mold with Towns and like guys like the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic. But it is kind of depressing looking at the future there. Like it kind of, you know, it's kind of like looking into a time machine playing the Suns or the Hawks this year for the Wolves, because they just can't keep up against teams who don't have a true starting five. They just run the floor quicker.
So basically what you alluded to was that even if Taj Gibson is not in this game and they have a stretch three in this game, and Dario Saric, they have another stretch three that would replace him, because Towns is the center place, they're never going to win a championship.
I hope not. But yeah, that's essentially what I'm alluding to. I think that's more of like an NBA like pod by itself in general, not just a Timberwolves issue. But that's what it seems like, Golden. Like, I feel like every time the Timberwolves play a team that don't play a true starting five, even a true starting five in the modern day NBA. So a guy that can shoot threes, facilitate, doesn't always get the best offensive boards, but can kind of play a great all-around game. Maybe doesn't block all the time, but just a solid all-around center right now in 2019. They just don't play a very good basketball against teams that don't have that kind of guy. So that's kind of worrisome moving forward. And I think it's just teams that kind of figured out how to get away from the low post and just play more well-rounded team basketball without a slower five.
We're going to have to file that away for the All-Star break, I think, and talk about it over the All-Star break. But yeah, that's a fascinating question for the Timberwolves moving forward. And as far as just this season, I can see this presenting a lot of really big problems. We're gonna get to a break from some sponsors, and then I wanna talk about how this immediately affects the next few games going forward here for the Timberwolves. But first, let's get to some sponsors. So the Timberwolves, after splitting the weekend, we're going to talk about kind of the bulk of games. Like Trey said, tomorrow we'll really dive into the Suns game again that they're playing. But we're going to just look at the bulk of games that they have this week. Tomorrow, Tuesday, they play the Suns. Thursday, they play the Lakers. Those are both road games. And then on the road again for the Jazz Friday. And then next Sunday, they're at home for the Jazz. So that's the next week of games for the Timberwolves. And just looking at how they played against the Suns the other night, I feel like if you're the Suns, Lakers, Jazz, I mean, you can run super small. That's an option to run super small for these teams. And I know Lonzo Ball being out for the Lakers kind of hurts that. But you can still run lineups that are super small all game long. I mean, how do you not run a really small lineup at least 22 minutes if you're these three teams?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be tough for them not to do that or to do that. Well, I guess the toughest question is, once Minnesota goes against the Suns, like, is DeAndre Ayton going to be back? And if he's not, are they just going to run the same guys they had out? And can Ryan Saunders figure out how to stop that? Whatever the answer may be. I don't know. I don't get paid the big bucks. But there's definitely an answer there to be had. And when you're playing the Lakers, who love their small ball, flashy lineups, and LeBron James – might have his first game back from injury against the Timberwolves, which is kind of scary to say. That'll be a really frightening game to watch with small ball lineups. And then when it comes to Utah, that's just, you know, Karl Anthony Towns' nightmare against Rudy Gobert, one of the best defensive centers, or the best defensive center in the league. That's just a really tough opponent there.
Well, yeah, and if I'm the Lakers, like watching how they're playing against the Suns, if they still can't do anything tomorrow night against this basically the same lineup, if Ayton is not in the game, I would just run LeBron at the center for 48 minutes after coming back from injury, but I would run him at the center every single minute that he's out there. And yeah, because they really don't, I mean, and you see how the Suns left points on the table there, shooting 12 of 39 from three, and the Timberwolves' response to their three-point shooting was 6 of 24. And so I get that it's not a great shooting night for the Timberwolves, but you see how they don't even if they're knocking down shots, they just don't have enough space to combat what the Suns are doing. They shot almost 43s.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, like, obvious that guys like Karl Anthony Towns, like, the reason why Towns is effective and guys like Jokic are effective, or even Porzingis are effective, is essentially because they can pull out and stretch from the perimeter. They can hit threes and long mid-range shots that only guards and wings have been able to hit in the past, you know, ever in the NBA. And the point of that is that they can stretch out and then get to the line or perimeter quicker than guys like Andre Drummond, Hassan Whiteside, whoever, who can't defend out there as quick. They don't have great lateral movement. And if you play a guy like LeBron James at the five that can essentially run the floor faster at every position than Karl Anthony Towns, and who might actually be able to bully ball Towns more so than Towns can against LeBron, that's like the biggest weakness on this Wolves team, which is weird because their biggest positive is obviously Towns too. So it's odd to think that against a small ball team, even like the Suns, that your biggest weakness moving forward and the biggest growth spot is your same player, which is really weird.
The other thing too is that without Robert Covington on this team, so much of the Timberwolves' offense happens down low and streaking to the basket. I mean, like, Wiggins only had three shots from deep. Most of his other shots take place within like 6 feet of the rim. And Taj Gibson, all of his shots are basically taking place within 6 feet of the rim. You have Josh Okogie only had 1 3, and he's not a mid-range shooter. He's going to drive in for the other baskets that he's taken. Dario Saric only took 5 shots. He had, and granted, about half of his shots were threes, but he only took 5 shots, and not enough of his offense takes place at all. Needless to say, taking place outside the three-point line. And so it's crazy, but when you take away one piece of this Timberwolves team, you start to realize the domino effect is what the offense that you're getting, the prize that you're getting after you take away that piece, is that most of it is going to happen down around the rim, and there's not a lot of guys. I mean, even Jeff Teague had 2 shots from 3-point range, but wasn't taking shots, and so he's either driving in or he's not taking shots at all. And so much of what the Timberwolves do happens around the rim, and they don't have a guy like Robert Covington to help space that out a little bit. They're just really easy to defend, and it doesn't take a big guy like Ayton to slow this team down. Because the blueprint is there.
The Wolves don't have a guy even like Jamal Crawford, which is weird to say, but somebody like that, they can come in and space the floor and switch it up for the opponent's defense. Like, a guy that can be a spark plug off the bench is very, very important for a team trying to fight for a playoff spot. You can kind of see that in L.A. with a guy like Lou Williams, one of the best spark plugs in the NBA. It would be so helpful for the Timberwolves to have a guy like that. Unfortunately, they don't, and they're relying on three-point shooting from a lot of players that can't shoot the three, like Josh Okogie. Reliably, Jeff Teague can't really shoot it that well. And just over the past 5 games – like, there's been a lot of worrying spots. Like, since Andrew Wiggins' big Oklahoma City game 5 games ago, in the past 5 games, he's averaged 14.8 points per game, 35% from the field, 38% from three, which is solid, but only shooting three a game, 55% from the charity stripe, which is disgusting, and then 5 rebounds a game, and that's it. It's a really porous performance over the past 5 games. And then the next leading scorer besides Taj Gibson is Josh Okogie, with 10 points a game, and he's shooting almost five threes a game because he's left open in the perimeter, which I'm sure, you know, listeners see all the time is Josh Kogi in the corner at the three-point line wide open. They let him shoot that, and he's shooting 31% from the arc. And that's terrible. And then the next guy I want to point out is Jeff Teague, who, since his incredible performances from the back from his injury, like against Orlando, where I had to come on the podcast and say positive things about Jeff Teague, he's been terrible. He's been back to Jeff Teague. He's averaging 8.8 points per game, six assists. He's shooting 40% from the field, 18% from three, averaging a few turnovers a game. Like, he's not playing good basketball. So there's a lot of guys on this team besides Derrick Rose and Karl Anthony Towns who have been playing amazing who aren't doing anything. So it's not looking good going forward or moving forward. And with this Western standings the way they are, this Phoenix Suns game is just how Karl Anthony Towns put it the other day. It's a must win somehow. It's just crazy.
I saw a tweet. I believe it was from the play-by-play man for the Timberwolves. If it wasn't, I apologize for misquoting. So I won't say any names here just to not attach it to the wrong person. But he was saying how between Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague and Robert Covington, there's like 34 missed games on the Timberwolves. And so while you can blame them all you want, they haven't had a lot of continuity because of injury this season to really try and grow and become the best team that they can. While that's partly true, and while they've really gotten a lot of the injury bug to some really key players consistently this season, I also have no idea what I'm expecting night to night from like four of the players on this team. And that's just something you can't say about a playoff team. Like, there's legitimately four guys on this team where every single night, and I cover this team every single day, and I'm tuning in and locking into what's going on in this team every single day. And there's like four guys on this team at least where I just have no idea what to truly expect from them. And I can try and use stats to the best of my ability to guess and to predict. And I can try and use past performances and tape to try and see what the trajectory is for these guys. And at the end of the day, I just have no idea if they're going to show up or not. And that's really terrifying when you're talking about a team that you were hoping could go to the playoffs.
Yeah, this team is essentially the furloughed DC workers right now who are looking for a paycheck. They're not getting their paycheck, Colton. Like, they're not going to get it for a while, probably. And they're wondering when they are going to get it. And we don't know when this performance is going to lead to a paycheck for some of these guys, unfortunately. So I'm going to stick with that analogy for right now. But, you know, it's not the greatest one, but I'll stick with it. But, like, this whole Wolves team, it's perplexing, man. Like, I totally agree with you. Like, it's unfortunate because of the injuries. You're totally correct in that statement. And, like, I definitely agree that doesn't allow teams to really find continuity or to become more fluid. It's really difficult to do that once everyone's getting, like, hurt every other game. And without, like, your third or fourth best player in Robert Covington, it's really tough to figure out what these lineups are going to be. But ultimately, the same problem Thibodeau had that I think Saunders is going to have is they're going to have to play their best starting five. Like, they're just going to have to start games out like that. Like, Derrick Rose, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and Dario Saric. Like, those guys need to be in the starting lineup. Like, that should be the front four, and then they should go from there, like, with Robert Covington out. Like, I really think that, like, that's, you know, the most pressing matter is they don't have time to, like, bring fun guys off the bench like Rose and Saric because it's cute and, like, that's what's supposed to happen. Like, if this was, like, 2K, you could do that and, like, come out with a win. But right now it's, like, really, like, fighting for wins, trying to make the playoffs – you know, in with a new young 32-year-old head coach who wants to keep his job. Like, right now, you just play the best guys you have. Like, I think that's what you have to do moving forward. And I know that Taj Gibson and other guys have had solid minutes here and there, like Jeff Teague. I just think you have to play the best four or five players.
Just give Key to the start over Wiggins, just to wake him up.
Ooh, I like that take. That's a good take. That's a good wake-up call.
just a good slap on the face. For Wiggins, just, you know what? How are you going to respond to that? Are you going to come off the bench and score 30 and be angry and take over a game? Or are you just going to be passive and stand in the corner and cry about it? And let's see. What do you do? What's your move? The ball is in your court, Wiggins. Let's go.
How badass would that be if Ryan Saunders, first five games coaching, he benches a $150 million man to make a point?
Hey, you know what? That'd be a grown man move is what that would be. In the words of Mark Jackson.
Honestly, that's a keep my job move. Like, that's like a move like everyone in the league would be like, yeah, that makes sense. Andrew Wiggins is like legit. He's got to be better. And if you're going to bench him for a game to get him like to wake up instead of just yelling at him on the bench like Thibodeau style, That might be the best idea. I like it, Colton. You should be the head coach.
That's just him pulling out his balls and being like, you know what? This is what I got. What you got, Wiggins? What do you got, Wiggins? Let's see him.
Love it.
All right. That's it for us. Like I said, the rest of the week we'll be talking about the games that they're playing, really diving into some matchups and some key breakdowns here. But as of right now, be looking out for the small ball lineups from a lot of teams, because if they struggle again against a bad Suns team, it's going to be a problem for the Timberwolves. That's what you got to look out for this coming week. But as of right now, thank you guys so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.